Is it on? I can't tell. It's so good. Thank you. Has God ever let you know that He loves you and that He is faithful? That He cares about what's going on in your life? Like many people, COVID and other things have caused many disruptions in my life. Work disruptions, personal disruptions, earthly challenges, spiritual challenges. And through it all, God has remained faithful. I was going around thinking how much I hate COVID, instead of thinking of how much God is working in COVID. On Wednesday, God reminded me three times of His faithfulness. First, I was talking to an acquaintance about how he was doing. And he told me that he's had some medical issues that may become life-threatening, but that God is good. He shared with me that because of COVID, he was unemployed and out of work. But because he was out of work, he was able to address his medical issues. And because he was out of work, he had an added blessing of being able to spend much quality time with his wife and his son. And yes, there are many struggles in it, but as he shared, the Lord reminded me that he is faithful through our earthly struggles. And that encouraged me to be more faithful. Then later, on Wednesday, someone shared with me about how happy she is because her son is attending a Christian school. She doesn't go to church, but she enrolled him in school because COVID prevented him from having in-person classes at his public school. And the Lord reminded me that he is working to teach his word and demonstrate his love in ways that I cannot understand. Then, kind of at the last minute on Wednesday, I picked up some dinner, and the gentleman at the counter shared with me, uninitiated, that he recently started to read his Bible after many years of turning from God because of things he knew that he did against God. But the Lord, he said, just led him to read his Bible. And he pulled out his Bible, he said, from many years ago. And he is reading from the book of Matthew, from the Sermon on the Mount, which we've been studying with Pastor Randy. And he said, in reading, the Lord revealed to him on how to live more for God and how to treat others. And the Lord lovingly reminded me that it is the power of His word and His gospel that saves and changes lives, and that He can change and will change the hearts of those who have rebelled against Him, even after many years. And that encouraged me to be faithful. And the Lord reminded me that my heart and my mind were much more focused on earthly things and earthly disruptions than things of heaven and things above. And then Pastor Randy contacted me and said he may not be able to preach this morning. And he asked if I would possibly be willing to preach. And I had agreed because the Lord had reminded me. I didn't have enough time to prepare as I would like to have prepared. But I looked on my computer and I found an outline of a sermon that it did in 2008 from Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 4. And the Lord reminded me to put off and to put on, to set my mind on things above. And then the Lord reminded me, 2008, that's a long time ago. That's before I heard about biblical counseling. I met a young gentleman shortly around that, or after that time, I think, named Randy Pauly. He was just Randy at that time. He was not Pastor Randy. And he asked me if I heard about this word called, or this term called, nothetic counseling. I still can't pronounce it. Using the Bible to counsel, the Word of God being sufficient for all our needs. And then I remembered, in 2008, Paula was still in undergraduate school. And since then, God has been faithful to lead Paula to be trained in biblical counseling. And the Lord has been faithful to start the Biblical Counseling Center of Maui. And I remember at that time, I think it's probably been about 5 years now, looking online, right? We're calling this, or, you know, the Biblical Counseling Center of Maui. There was no other biblical counseling on Maui with certified counselors. There was only one other one in the whole state of Hawaii. But the Lord has been faithful, because there are now others going through the courses and going through the process to be certified, and that is super exciting. So praise God for His word and His faithfulness. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I beg you, Lord, I pray that Christ be made much of. Lord, that you help me to share the gospel, your gospel, that only through Christ may we have eternal life forever with Him. And Lord, I pray that your gospel is preached throughout Maui County this morning and every day, throughout our state of Hawaii and our nation and your world, Lord, your nation. Lord, that we allow the Word of God to shape our thoughts, to shape our desires, and to shape our actions. That we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and guide us, direct us, to reveal truth to us, Lord. And that your church do everything that we do in the name and the authority and for the glory of our Lord Jesus, according to His word and His will. Lord, that our lives that we live here on earth be a demonstration that we worship you alone. And Lord, this morning, for these verses that you led me to, Lord, let it be a practical instruction of how to live for you. Please, Lord, direct my heart, my words, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. So Nick preached from Colossians as well last week. And I'll be going over 3 points. You read through this, it's just very, it's like very obvious. First point, pay attention to what you're paying attention to. Right? Pay attention to what you are paying attention to. Second point, put to death the sinfulness. Put to death the sinfulness. And the third point, put on the character and the message of Christ. Put on the character and the message of Christ. As I look through my notes from 2008, something was missing. Unga munga was missing in 2008. But don't worry, for those that may miss him, let's start with a story. Once upon a time, there was a little boy, and his name was Unga Munga. And he had a little sister, and her name was Jennifer. And one day, Unga Munga's dad told him that he was going to play soccer. Unga Munga was so excited. I'm going to play soccer. Right? Woohoo, I'm going to play soccer. Dad, what's soccer? Dad said, it's a fun game. You run around, you kick a ball, you try to score points, you try to stop the other team from scoring points. Don't worry. Just listen to your coach, follow what he says, and you'll do great and have a ton of fun. Thanks, Dad. I think I'll like soccer. After several practices, it was time for Unga Munga's first soccer game. Unga Munga, his dad said, time to get ready for your first game. Let's take off your dirty play clothes and let's put on your uniform. What's a uniform, Dad? A uniform identifies which team you're on. Everyone on the same team wears the same uniform. Okay, Dad, I got it. Let's take off these dirty clothes and put on my uniform. The game starts, and 1 minute, Unga Munga was where he was supposed to be. The next minute, he was running to the wrong place. In fact, it looked like he was running in circles. At the first break, he told his coach, "Oh, coach, I didn't realize you got to run a lot in soccer. I'm tired." You see, there was someone from the other team also yelling out Unga Munga's name and telling him where to go. And so he would run in that direction. And then his own coach would tell him to run back. And then the other team would say his name again and he would run in the wrong direction. And his own coach would tell him to come back. He was trying to listen to both his coach and the other team. And he ran in circles and he became totally confused and he became exhausted. Unga Munga, his coach said, "Don't listen to the other team. You need to listen to your own coach. Only listen to me, and I'll guide you in the right direction." "I see," said Unga Munga. "Listen only to you and follow your directions. I got it." Like Unga Munga, we hear voices from all sides telling us what to believe, what's right, what's wrong, what to do, where to go, and how to act. And if we listen to them, we'll find ourselves running in circles. We become confused, exhausted, frustrated, and discouraged. In today's verses, I pray that we're encouraged to listen to our one true coach, our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we put on his uniform and live the life that he has given us his way. Point number one, pay attention to what you're paying attention to, verses 1-4. Before Christ, our desires, our affections, our will were all against God's will. We were enemies of God. As we sang today, and Nick, as he preached last week, said, you know, sing to each other. In the verses today, it talks about singing to each other, the truth of who God is and the truth in God's word. And it just reminds us that just of the sacrifice, the gift that God has given us through Christ. And if we remember that the if then is not really an if, it's more of a since then, because of, right? Since we have been raised with Christ, since we are these co Right? We've been co-resurrected with Christ. We who were once enemies of God have believed in Christ alone. We've repented of our sin. We've trusted in Christ. And now we're forever changed. Right? God says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. It's like being a new baby, right? You're born again. But as a new baby, you're still a baby in Christ. And so God's word instructs us how to grow, and also from last week's sermon, how to become more and more mature in Christ, right? To be sanctified, to be more and more like Christ. And God's word this morning says, since you have been raised with Christ, what do? Seek things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and this you, remember this you, Paul, when he writes, he's writing to the church, right? As which is, we are the individuals that make up the church, the believers, those are in the new covenant of Christ. So you, the church, have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory, right? Our future hope, our sure hope, we know, is eternity with Christ. Because we have been raised with Christ, because now we have Christ in us and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit we can understand the spiritual realities, we can see the spiritual realities that we could not see before. Through the Holy Spirit revealing God's truth in His Word, right, through other people in our lives, and then we learn deeper and deeper truths about His character, His grace, His mercy, His sacrifice, and the promises of the riches in heaven. These are the things above that we should be setting our minds on and seeking, actively seeking. Are we paying attention to what we are paying attention to? Are we carefully and intentionally seeking and setting our minds on things above? Think about it. What do we think about? Earthly things or things above? When we focus our minds and set our minds on things above, that's why we can suffer and still have joy. The joy of Christ. And it's still suffering. But because our minds are set on things above, we can suffer with the joy of Christ. We can suffer with Christ. We can have the peace that passes human understanding when difficult things happen in this life. This is why when our minds are set on above, we don't need to be anxious or worry about things. We know what our future holds. We know what our future holds. And our hope in Christ is guaranteed. It's kind of like knowing that you're about to graduate from high school in a couple weeks, and then you have finals. Finals is still finals. But because you know you're graduating, your heart is still like, I'm still excited, right? We know where we're going. And we have joy and assurance in that. Pay attention to things above. Pay attention to Christ. Put to death the sinfulness. Put off the old self. Verses 5 to 9. Right? The old has gone. It's gone. Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Right? What is earthly in you individually? What is earthly in you? Church, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry, put that to death. Put it off. On the account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, right? You once walked when you were living in them. Verse 8, but now you must put them what? All away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Our old self is what corrupts us. It destroys our integrity. It stops us from receiving the blessings of God. It stops us from flourishing as believers. Throw them away like filthy, worn out, worthless, useless clothes that they are. Put them off. Take them off. But how do we know if we're still listening to the other team? Look at the uniform that you're wearing when you're at work. Look at the clothes that you're wearing at home. Or rather, look at what you're thinking about, what you're doing, and what you're saying. And if it resembles verses 5 through 9, examine yourself. Have others help you. Recognize it. Repent of it. Turn from it and turn back to God. It's not a game of soccer. It's not a game at all. And it's not meaningless. This life on earth matters. This life on earth has a purpose. And we are in a battle. And we need to fight. And we need to fight to put sin to death. And the more our eyes and our minds are on God, are on His Word, the more we'll see God's goodness, the more we'll see His promises, and the more we'll recognize and hate the sin in our lives. It's like that acquaintance I saw picking up our dinner. He said, as he read through the Sermon on the Mount, God revealed to him that if he were to murder someone, he would face the consequences of our earthly justice system. Jesus said, but I say that everyone who is angry with his brother and he who says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire, the wrath of God. And God's word revealed to him how serious God takes our attitudes and our actions towards others that we may think of different than ourselves. And God changed his heart. And God changed how he thought about it. And God changed his attitude towards others and what he said about and to others. And we're not fighting sin to earn God's forgiveness. We're not fighting sin because of anything of us. We fight sin and put it to death because of God's forgiveness, because we have been co-raised with Him, because we are in Christ and Christ is in us. That's why we fight sin. But it's not just stopping, right? It's not just taking off your dirty clothes, your sinful thoughts, your actions. It's replacing them with Christ-like thoughts and Christ-like character to put on Christ. Point number 3, put on the character and the message of Christ, verses 10 through 17. Put on the new self, which is being renewed. Maybe, I remember, when you're first saved, you're like a baby Christian. Right? You're there. You're complete, but you're still not mature. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives through God's word, through others, and be sanctified, right? To grow, to be mature in Christ. right? Put on the new self, which is being renewed, right? This idea of we're daily being made into this new quality of Christ-likeness, right? Being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. We're progressively, right? We're becoming more and more and more like Jesus Christ. Verse 11, here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all. Christ is all and in all. Therefore, because of all of this, right, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. I like that, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, right? You, the church, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, right? Like the peace of Christ rule your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. As we study God's word, we meditate on God's word, we read other things that helps us to understand God's word, the Holy Spirit reveals God's truth to us, right? Our thought, our mind begins to change how we think about things, right? We start having a view of things from God's point of view, right? Then our desires change, our affections change, what's important to us changes, right? What we want to worship changes. Our will on what we want to do changes, right? Our decision-making changes. And that all overflows, right? Out of who we are to our words, our actions, and our deeds. And then when people look at us, the church, they'll see followers of Christ. They'll see people in the church from different backgrounds, different social statuses, different racial backgrounds, different cultures, and there will not be distinctions in the church. Right? Things that sin and human corruption and human pride has separated between social classes and races, they don't exist in the church. Right? All those barriers, all those walls, Christ has broken down. And God has created for himself us, his church, one people, one body, unified in Christ, one church. Not a youth ministry, not a senior ministry, not a language ministry, not a singles ministry, not all these things almost acting as individual churches, but one church with Christ as its head. How do we put on this new self? It's a daily conscious decision to change from the inside out, to take up our cross, to die to ourselves, to our selfish ways, daily, and follow Christ. Don't listen to the other voices telling you what to do. Listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Listen to the voice of Christ. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's mercy towards us, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship, right? This is our reasonable act of worship to God, loving God's mercy on us. In verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. That's like the old self, right? Don't conform to that anymore. But be transformed, put on the new. How? By the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our mind? Reading the Word of God, praying, coming to worship service, singing songs, all these spiritual disciplines to renew our mind. When we renew our mind, then verse 2 goes on to say, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Putting off and putting on is a daily task. Just like, hopefully, we take off and put on our dirty clothes, take off our dirty clothes and put on new clothes every day, right? It's a daily task. Imagine not changing your clothes for a week. But yet, we think we don't have to intentionally take off and put on spiritual, what we clothe ourselves with spiritually. How about not changing your clothes for a month? Think about it. God gives us so much imagery in His Word. And we do this. And just like Unga Munga, we'll listen to our one true coach. And the uniform that we wear will demonstrate Christ to the world. We'll be a witness to the reality of the gospel of Christ. Application. Three applications. I know you're going to say it sounds the same, Wes, because it is the same. Pay attention to what you're paying attention to. Pay attention not to things on earth. Pay attention to things that are above. Pay attention to Christ. Application number 2. Put to death the sinfulness. It's not what we think is wrong, right? We like to like kind of slide things over or like gloss things over. God's word is our standard of what sin is, right? It's a conscious daily effort to put to death. And God gives us a list. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil thoughts, evil desires, evil intentions, covetousness, or maybe greed, selfishness, disregard for others, seeking to fulfill our own desires instead of God's desires, worshiping ourselves or worshiping our own comfort instead of worshiping God, anger, outbursts of anger, having a temper, being hot-headed. Someone say, oh yeah, I have a temper. Like it's nothing. Put it off. Slander. I don't slander. Do you talk badly about others? Is there obscene talk coming from your mouth? You know, it made me think about last week's sermon when it was mentioned that when we think about our church, right, other Christians, other believers, we're in Christ and Christ is in us. Man, that just made me think, how do I think about others when I know that Christ is in them? And they're in Christ. How do I talk about them? That's how I'm thinking and talking about Christ. Don't lie to one another. Not little white lies. Don't make excuses that you didn't know what you're saying. Put it to death. Which of these do we put off? Which of these do we put to death? God's word says, all of them. All of them. That's the old self. That's not the new self. Put them on the rubbish heap where they belong. Put them to death. Point number 3. Put on the character and the message of Christ. Again, a conscious daily effort to renew our minds. Renew our minds through the Word of God, through prayer, through submitting to God. Right, constantly, continuously, we're little babies in Christ. How do we grow? in holiness, in righteousness, in doing what's right, not according to what we think is right, not what my friend thinks is right, right according to God's perfect and loving will. Do we treat others in our church based on the reality that Christ really has removed all the barriers? Or do we tend to want in our church to hang out and talk to only people that are like us? And we talk about this a lot, right? We're one church. We're one church. Have a heart of compassion. Tender mercies. It's like, tender mercies? What is that? Is that showing mercy with tenderness? Maybe. Is it mercy in action? Care in action? Kindness. Gentleness. Excuse me. Graciousness. Sweetness. A deep consideration of others. Considering others above yourself. Humility. Right? Not thinking lowly of yourself, thinking rightly of yourself. Patience. Enduring injustice. Someone wrongs you. It is their fault. Are you patient because of what Christ has done in your life? When you face difficult or troubling circumstances, are we patient knowing that God is good? Do we trust God through that and in that? Do we accept being wronged without retaliating, either in what we say or what we do? Or maybe do we complain? Bearing with one another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive, right? You, us. How has the Lord forgiven us? As we sang the songs, and I just think, and or every week, every day, how has Christ forgiven us? It's how we forgive others. Even when we disagree with someone, even when we dislike someone's personality, we can still bear in love. Do we show favor to others that is unconditional? We can do these things because of Christ in us. And above all, these, to bind them together, put on love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it describes love to us, and we know this verse well. I have it posted. I know some other people have it posted in our house because it reminds me, because I need to be reminded daily. 1 Corinthians 13, starting in chapter 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable. Love is not resentful. Love doesn't rejoice when there's wrongdoing, but it does rejoice with the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never ends. Above all these, put on love. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So this idea of ruling in our hearts, it's the idea of if you play sports, like there's usually either umpire or referee, right? And they're the ones that decides, did you have an infraction or did you, you know, break one of the rules? Right? The umpire referee makes that decision. So what this verse is saying is that the peace of Christ be the one that rules our hearts, right? That's the umpire. That's what gets to decide. The peace of Christ. That's what makes the final decision. Christ. Right? Do not follow your heart. We know our hearts are deceitful. Don't follow a gut feeling. Don't let anything else rule your life, your hearts. Not your friends, not your families, right? Not your parents, not yourself. Let Christ rule your hearts, and then you have peace that passes human understanding. And God is so wise that he doesn't forget to put in and be thankful. Right? Be thankful. Be grateful. Look around, church. Who does this list describe? Who wears this uniform? Who wears these clothes? Who has clothed themselves like this? And look in the mirror. This list describes a Christian. And when I read this, it encourages me, because God gives me what to do, what to pray for, what to repent of, what to be encouraged to do. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, right? Let the word of Christ be at home in you, dwell in you Christians, in you the church. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, extravagantly, abundantly, teaching and admonishing or correcting one another, right? The you, right? We're not two people, so you, the church, correcting one another in all wisdom, God's wisdom, and doing what? What we'll do in a little while, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I love it that we do that every week. It's biblical. We sing to each other. We sing to ourselves. We sing to our God. We remind ourselves with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And then, whatever you do, in word, in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus, under his authority, under his direction. We do all as a representative or an ambassador of Christ, giving thanks to the God, the Father, through him. All of life, in word or in deed, is in service to Christ as a loving servant. Christ is our life. Our church life on Sunday mornings, our ministry life, our work life, our school life, our personal life, Christ is all. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, till the day we die and till eternity. Everything we do, do as his ambassador. And I also like this from last week's sermon. A question to help us examine our lives. Does the way that we live demonstrate that Christ is sufficient? His sacrifice, his treasure, Christ is sufficient. Not anything else or anyone else on this earth. Only Christ is sufficient. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for Christ. And I thank you so much for your word. I'd be so lost, Lord. Like a baby just left out in the woods. You don't do that to us, Lord. You give us your word. You teach us, Lord. You give us your church. You give us the Holy Spirit. You give us so much, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we are convicted by your word to do what you will for your glory, in your name, in Jesus' name, in all that we do. Thank you, Lord, for Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.